stay tuned and focused and let words of life minister to you by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
Amen. Want to use for a title and a topic and a thought or a tag for this message, overcoming frustration. Overcoming frustration. He said, ourselves together, we'll build. I got a question for you. What are you building? If you're not building, you're tearing down. If we're not building each other, we must be tearing down each other. And if you're listening to other people tear other folks down, guess what? You're just as guilty. Just as guilty. We must stop tearing each other down. We got to stop it. And if we don't stop it, then God will stop the, you know, whatever you say, the Bible says that what goes in a man don't what? Defile him, but what goes? So whatever you say, you got to remember, you talked about somebody and then you're going to get mad when folks talk about you. You don't have a right to. You don't have a right to get mad when other people talk. If you blab a mouth and somebody start blabbing about you, or they say bumping their gums. When they start doing that, you're getting what you deserve, reaping what you're sowing. That's what that is. And you know, we talk about karma. Quit talking about karma. You're a Christian. You ain't a Hindu. You're a Christian. You ain't a Buddhist. So the Bible says that you'll reap what you sow. God is not to be mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Amen. And so we got to learn how to overcome frustration by the word of God and remembering what God has said. If you can remember what God has said, no matter what they say about you, it won't bother you. They can call you a dog. They can talk about you like you got a tail and everything. It don't matter. You just need to know that you are the righteousness of God by Christ Jesus. You need to know that you're the apple of his eye. You need to know that you're heirs with Christ. Come on and say amen. You need to know that you're a saint of God. I don't care what they say about you. You need to know who you are in him. Amen. Amen. You need to know what the king said. We need to know what did God say about us when we are afflicted, when we go through trials, when we go through tribulation. What did God say? God said that he'll deliver us from it. God said that he'll pick us up out of the muck and miry clay. God said that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord will deliver him from them all. He'll snatch us out by his reflex. He has a way of delivering us and a way of escape, but we have to choose the way. Amen. So what did the king say? When I'm frustrated, I remember what God said. When I'm frustrated, I remember that this too shall pass. And when I'm frustrated, I remember what Job said in chapter 42. He said that after all these things, Job lived on. After you go through your trouble, guess what? You're still going to live. After they lie on you, you can get up the next morning and live. After they talked about you, after things didn't go your way, after the failure, after the fault, after whatever mishap happened in your life, you can get up. Y'all still with me here? All right, okay. And so verse number 4, he says, then the people of the land weakened the hands of the people of Judah and troubled them in what? In building. We're supposed to, you know, your body is a what? The temple. And so we're supposed to be building this temple for God. We're supposed to make it right so the Holy Spirit abides in us. So that we can meet God in worship inside of our own selves. Amen? We're supposed to do that. And he said, then the people of the land weakened the hands. And the thing about this, I want you to notice that this was their neighbors. This were their neighbors. The people in the land, they lived around them. And they began to weaken their hand. In other words, they started to frustrate them to the point that they didn't want to keep going. And we have people in the church that are frustrated. And that's why we don't see them on Sunday. I'm asking the question, is that why we don't see you at Bible study? You frustrated? I'm asking the question because we should be trying to build this temple in every chance you can. If you were building something, you want to see it come up. If you were building a house, wouldn't you go down there every day to make sure that they're doing it right? You'll go as often as you must to make sure things coming up right. Well, how come we don't come to the church where we can be built up? How come we don't come to be taught so that we can be built up, so that we'll be a strong vessel for the Lord? Ain't too many amens. But you know what? I've been preaching half my life, and you ain't got to say amen. It's good. And so look at this. He said they weaken the hands of the people of Judah. And I can understand if they weaken Benjamin's hand, but here these people, Judah, these are the ones that praise God continually. These are the ones that when you went to, now you got to understand that when Moses set up the tabernacle in the wilderness, he put Judah in the front of the gate so that when you go to church, you had to go through praise. You had to go through a bunch of people that was full of joy, that praised God, right? And so here it is, Judah, which means praise. This is the tribe that if you praise God, then all when they begin to praise God, then the enemies that they have, they scatter. When they begin to praise God, the enemies begin to be destroyed because of their praise. Remember? Remember when they begin to praise God, they said, oh, Lord, their God must be in the midst of them, and the enemy took off running from them. They, when Hezekiah went out and God told him, he said, this is not your battle, it's mine. Go out and praise me. And then when they got through praising, they found that the enemy had killed each other and left. Come on and say amen. And so here it is, the same people, Judah, the same people who know what God can do. They got frustrated and they got weak. Come on and say amen. Sometimes, I don't care, the best of us get weak. Sometimes, and it's because of the frustration. It's because of what the enemy has tried to bring to our life. But we got to remember that what is my purpose? Judah's purpose was in its name. Judah's purpose was to praise God. And so what is my purpose? I need to know what my purpose is so that I can continue to do what God wants me to do. So don't let the enemy frustrate your purpose. Don't let the enemy keep you mess you up and keep you silent. If God is saying open your mouth and speak, you need to open up your mouth. If he's saying lift your hands, you need to lift them. If he's saying praise him, you need to praise him. We need to focus on our purpose. He says that the enemies of the land, the people of the land, the neighbors. And you know, how do we love our neighbor as ourselves if they are our enemy? Well, Jesus said, glad you asked. Jesus said, he said, if your enemy's thirsty, give him water. If he's hungry, feed him, right? He said, turn the other cheek. He said, love your enemy. But we because we got these other gods that say we can do something different. Then we become Old Testament Christians. Eye for an eye. Tooth for a tooth. Right? You poke me, I'm poking you. You hit me, I'm hitting you back. Right? That's how, you know, that's where we are right now. But if we really live by the Old Testament, man, I'm telling you, you about to pay some price for living part of the Old Testament. So anyway, let me try to get through because y'all getting bored, I see. He says they troubled them in building. They troubled them in progress. Sometimes the enemy comes to stop your progress. He don't want to just destroy you. He want to stop your progress because he know once I stop your progress, then ain't nobody else going to believe in you anyway. And nobody else is going to believe in the God that you believe in because the progress stopped. That's why it's important for us to finish what we start. And a lot of times we don't like to finish what we start. We want to quit because of adversity. And at the smallest sign of some type of pushback or some type of resistance, we decide that we just want to, I'm through, I quit. But why quit when things get hard? Because when you quit here, you're just going to run to something else and quit. And then you're going to quit something else. Because let me tell you something. For a child of God, anything that is great don't come easy. There's all, look, anything worth having, it comes with some type of adversity. It comes with some type of pain. It comes with some type of struggle. But we got to understand the struggle is all worth it. Because what did he say in Romans chapter 8? He said, the suffering of this present time is not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. All I'm trying to tell you is that the struggle that you're going through is not even worth what God is going to do in your life. The Bible said, eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard, nor entered into the heart of men the things that God has in store for them that love him. And if we can just love God, if we can just trust God enough that and just wait on him, the Bible tells us to wait and let patience have her what? Perfect work. And if we can just wait on him, things will happen the way God wants them to happen. But we can't wait. We can't have faith. We want it right now. We microwave generation. Put it in the microwave. Give it to me. Let me eat it right now. No, I want you to stay right here because this stew going to take some time. I got to cut up some onions and some bell peppers. I got to cut up some potato. It's going to take a process, and let me get you there. I wish I had somebody in here. I wish I had some people in the house today that said, I don't want it like tomorrow, but I want it when God wants to give it to me. I ain't in a hurry because I know that he gave me time. Come on and say amen. I'm not trying to make things happen for me because I know God will make things happen for me. I ain't got to worry about trying to open the door for myself. That's why God made automatic doors. All I got to do is position myself and the door will open. Come on and say amen in this house and give God some praise. Verse 5, look at this, verse 5. They didn't stop there. They didn't stop by trying to weaken them. And you know what they did? They tried, you know, to try to get in the people's ear. Try to tell them it ain't worth doing. But then not only that, they hired counselors. They hired people. They paid people. Look at this, to frustrate their purpose. Tell somebody, don't let people frustrate your purpose. He says, and they did this all the days of Cyrus the king, even though they had letters from the king, even though they had the word of the king to help them get this done, they still couldn't do it. We got God's word, and we still can't do some things. Lord have mercy. Ain't nobody say nothing then. We have God's word, and you're still struggling with the smallest of things. Just like these people, they had a purpose. They had a word, and they still couldn't do it. You have a purpose. You have a word, and you still can't accomplish it because we allow everything we hear and see to frustrate us. I don't care. It may not be for everybody, but it's for one person here. And we have to learn to overcome that. Look at what he said. He said they hired counselors. Do you know that the enemy will employ people to come and try to stop you? That's how much of a threat you are to the kingdom of Satan, that he will employ people to try and hinder the work that God has in your life, to frustrate their purpose. All the days of Cyrus the king, and let me tell you how long this was. He frustrated their purpose for 10 years. 10 years, they had started building, and they couldn't build one building for 10 years. Isn't that something? How they had enough help, but they still couldn't build it. It is even said that it's possible that they had gotten to the people who were the builder supply. They supplied the wood and stuff like that, and they told them, jack the price up, don't give them this, make slow shipments and stuff like that. And so the people just gave up. 10 years. I don't know where you are. I don't know who this is for, but how long has it been taking you? How long have you been frustrated? How long have you allowed the enemy to keep you from the purpose that God has for you? I may not holler at you today, but you got to know this. Don't let the enemy frustrate your purpose. Don't let the enemy do this to you. You need to overcome your purpose. Amen? Look at this, and I'm going to get out of the way because y'all look like y'all ready for me to move. I ain't come here for this. I came for more than this. But in verse number 15 of chapter 6, it says that they finished the temple. And they finished it in the reign of another king. And the reason why they were able to finish it in the reign of another king is because that king had sense enough to go back and see what the king before him said. And when he went to see what was already written, he said, we got an obligation to fulfill this purpose. Make sure these people get finished with that, or else it would look like the kingdom couldn't do it. Y'all didn't get that. Y'all didn't get that. We have an obligation to finish because it looks like the kingdom ain't capable of doing nothing while we sitting back and letting them frustrate our purpose. It looks like the kingdom is not capable of getting people healed. preach. It looks like the kingdom is not capable of getting people delivered and set free. It looks like the kingdom is not able. And what I mean by kingdom, the kingdom of God. You are part of the kingdom of God. It looks like we're not able to do the things that we are supposed to be doing in the earth realm because we are the body of Christ. And since it looks like it, we got a king that's saying, look, you got to go back and see what's been written about you. You got to go back and see what rights you got. You got to go back and see what God has already put in the plan for your life. I wish I had somebody in here. The Bible tells us that God says that he knows the thoughts that he has for us, that there are thoughts of prosperity and peace, and we got to know what God has said. We got to know that we ain't by ourselves, but he said he'll never leave us nor forsake us. I wish I had somebody. The Bible said that Moses knew his purpose, but Moses went about it the wrong way at first because he killed an Egyptian. But then when he tried to get his people to work together, they said, oh, Moses, you want to do us like you did that Egyptian? In other words, what was happening with Moses is that he tried to step ahead and get it done. But when he tried to step ahead and get it done, it was the very same people that he thought he was supposed to be helping that started to accuse him. And then he stopped the progress, and he went and hid in the wilderness for a while, for about 40 years. Do you know Moses waited 40 years before God said, okay, Moses, you've had enough time to sit back here and mope and try to hide out. God said 40 years is long enough. I'm about to use you at 80 years old. I wish I had somebody. And so when God used him at 80, he was 80 years old when he decided to go back and tell Pharaoh what God had said to let my people go. And what we got to realize and that Moses didn't know at the moment is that Moses, you ain't in this by yourself. You got God on your side. And God had to let him know, Moses, you knew your purpose, but you didn't know the one who gave you the purpose. And here I am to reveal myself to you. And somebody in here today need God to reveal himself to them so that they can go on and do what God had called you to do. Come on and say amen. I'm reminded of Paul. Paul had a purpose. The Bible said Paul had said that he had to preach this gospel. He said, no matter what it takes, I got to preach this gospel and I got to go preach it in Rome. And the Bible says that Paul met Jesus on the road to Damascus. But when he met him, his life was changed. But after that, everywhere Paul went, the Bible says that Paul was sitting there and Agabus came to him and said that Paul, that you're going to be bound up and you're going to be locked up in jail. Paul said, don't cry for me. The people begin to weep. Paul said, don't you cry for me because it's breaking my heart. He said, but not only am I willing to go to jail, but I'm willing to die for the name of the Lord. I wish I had somebody. You got to know your purpose. So that's why when Paul went to Lystra and they stoned him and left him for dead, he was able to get back up and go preaching. I know sometimes it feels like people are trying to knock you out, trying to get you off track. But don't you just lay down and let them. You get up and go back to doing what God called you to do. The Bible said that he was shipwrecked and for 3 days and three nights. But then the Bible said a snake bit him after the shipwreck. But then he shook the snake off and he went back to doing what God said for him to do. All I'm trying to do this morning is encourage you to not be frustrated in your purpose. Anytime you have purpose, there are going to be some things to try to hinder you. That's why Paul had to say, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to what's before me, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high call that is laid that Jesus Christ. Do I have anybody in the house that said, I'm not frustrated today, but I'm encouraged because I know there is a will. I know there is a way. Since there is a God, he'll open up doors that's been closed in my face. Tell somebody, it's going to be all right. Tell him it's going to be all right because you have purpose. You know that God didn't create anything that did not have a purpose. I wish I had somebody in the house. And since you have been created, you're here by the word of God. And when God spoke his word, you were right there in it. And he decided to make sure that whatever it is that you got to do, that there's a word for you to get over on it. And there's a word for you to be an overcomer.
The Bible says that he sent his word. I wish I had somebody to prosper the thing where he sent his word. In other words, this morning, God has sent a word to you for you to be encouraged today so that you will prosper in the things that God had called you to do. Somebody shout glory here. I'm so glad that I know my purpose, that I ain't worried about what they think. I don't care what people have to say. I've been delivered from the opinion of men. Oh, come on and say amen. If you do good, they're talking about you. If you don't do good, they're talking about you. If you do what they want you to do, they're going to talk about you too. So you might as well do what God says. But whenever they talk about you, and when you do what God says, at least you got God on your side. And at the end of it all, only what God say matters. Do I have anybody in the house that said, I'm going to believe whatever God said about me? I'm going to do whatever God wants me to do. What did God say? He said, we're more than conquerors through him that loves us. He told us already that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our own testimony. You got to overcome these frustrations. I wish I had a few people in the house that said, I'm ready to overcome. Oh, come on and give God some praise. What else did he say about us? He said, many are the afflictions, but God will deliver you. He said that no weapon formed will be able to prosper against you. Do I have anybody? What else did God say? He said, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Do anybody believe that? So if the greater one's on the inside, you need to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding, but acknowledge him in all your ways, and he'll direct your path. They said you can't, but I say you can. They say you're broke, but God say, let the poor say I'm rich. They said you're weak, but God say, let the weak say I'm strong. Anybody in the house say, I don't care what they say, I'm saying what God said. I don't care what they see, I'm seeing what God sees. When God looks at you, he don't look at a weakling, he don't look at a broke person, he looks at his child and say, you can do it, you can make it. I wish I had somebody. All you need is faith. He said, without faith, it's impossible to please him. But he said, if you believe, he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Anybody seeking God, he'll work it out for you. Anybody seeking God, he'll heal your body. Anybody seeking God, he'll save your soul. Won't he do it? Tell somebody, won't he do it? Won't he do it? Won't he, will he? And will he, won't he? Yes, he will. God will make sure that they get to see you whenever he blesses you. Yes, they frustrated you. Yes, they tried to stop you. But the Bible says, what did David say? He said, he maketh a table before me in the presence of my enemies. So when they said you couldn't eat, God said, eat up right in front of them. When they said you had no place, God said, here's my table, and you got a place right in front of them. When they said you wasn't nobody, God said, they belong to me. Somebody say amen. When folks wrote you off, God wiped you off, fill you with his Holy Ghost. I wish I had somebody and told you to go on and do my will. I'm talking about purpose. Anybody know your purpose? If you don't know it by now, just seek ye the Lord while he may be found. He'll show you what it is. Somebody say yes in here. When I'm going to close now, but one more person that I need to let you know that they tried to frustrate him. They tried to stop him and try to stop the purpose. It was Jesus Christ. The devil tried to stop him because he thought killing him would stop him. Thought lying on him would stop him. Thought by putting the devil amongst him would stop him. But let me tell you what, it didn't stop Jesus. They lied on him. They accused him. They talked about him. They crucified him. But it didn't stop Jesus. And so since it didn't stop Jesus, Jesus. You're from the same family. He's your big brother. And so if it didn't stop him, it ain't going to stop me. Somebody say yes here and give God some praise. Jesus came. He died. Even death didn't stop him, because when he died, he went down to hell, and hell couldn't stop him. Preached to the captives, took them out of hell, brought them out of hell. Do I have any witnesses? And then he went back to the grave. The Bible said early. It was early. Somebody say early. That's a church word, early. He got up with all power. Somebody say yes here. Power to overcome all your frustration. Power to overcome every situation. Power, Holy Ghost power. Somebody say yes here. Anybody know it? It didn't stop Jesus, and it won't stop you. Don't let it frustrate. The purpose of Jesus was to come down and bring salvation unto the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Somebody say yes. That whosoever believeth on him shall not perish but have everlasting life. So when Jesus died, here comes salvation. But when he rose, there was salvation. Now he's killed, or he's defeated hell, death, and the grave. He said, death, where's your sting? Grave, where's your victory? He said, I got it. I got victory. And what we need to say in the midst of your struggle is, I got victory. I got V-I-C-T-O-R-Y. I got victory. Anybody got victory? Come on, do you have victory? But I'm so glad. I hope that you caught this. It was the tribe of Judah that decided to come together and begin to build. If we got to get some folks, I got to get some praisers. Somebody who ain't ashamed to lift up the name of Jesus. Somebody who ain't ashamed and who ain't said, I ain't worried about my wig. I ain't worried about my weave. I ain't worried about my suit. I ain't worried about my shoes. But Lord, whatever you're doing in this season, don't do it without me. I ain't too cute to lift up his name. I ain't too pretty to get ugly for God. Somebody say yes here and give God some praise. Do I have the tribe that say, we're going to work until we get it done? We're going to work. They can frustrate me. They can conspire against me. Write letters on me. Somebody say yes, but I'm going to work while it's day, because the night comes when no man work. Anybody willing to work? Come on and shout glory. Let me see your hand if you're willing to work. Lord, here's my testimony. I'm willing to work. I'm willing to do your will. I'm not worried about the naysayers. I'm not worried about the gainsayers. All I got to say is S-O-S. Scoot over some, because I got to praise him while I work. While I work, I got to lift him up while I work. I got to remind you what thus saith the Lord. If the Lord said it, it's going to be all right. Come on and shout yes. We overcome the world. Come on and say yes. If he said he'd give you joy, you got joy. If he said he'd give you strength, you can have strength. He said if you keep your mind stayed on me, I'll keep you in perfect peace. Get your mind right. Tell somebody, say, neighbor, get your mind right. Ain't no time for stinking thinking. Put your mind on the Lord. Say yes. Say yeah. Say yeah. What are you doing? What are you doing? Say yes. Shout glory. Hallelujah. Since I lay my burden down. Anybody feel better? I feel better. I've been frustrated how they've been preaching. It frustrates me to see people run after folks who ain't even preaching the word, run after philosophy, running after prophecy? Are they prophesying? But I'm so glad that I got people with me that said, I want the word. I want to hear what God said. Because when I hear the word, things will change. When I hear the word, I'll be able to stand with my loins girt about, with the truth of God, with the breastplate of righteousness, and the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, and the shield of faith. Somebody shout glory. Shout hallelujah. I'm about to go to my seat. But before I go, tell your neighbor. Say, neighbor, you may think I'm dumb. You may think I don't know anything. But I may not know three things. I may not even know two things. But one thing I know, I know he's all right. That's what I know. If I don't know.